lot more, cause I got them deep river blues. Let that rain drive right on, let those waves sweep along, cause I got them deep river blues. My old gal's a good old pal, she works like waterfowl, and I got them deep river blues. There ain't no one to cry for me, and the fish all go out on a spree, when I got them deep river blues.
The Circle Being Broken record came out. I remember the first time I heard it was a New Year's Eve party in my hometown of West Virginia. My friend and I were just marveling at the sound of Doc's guitar. We said, you know, I think you have to play guitar. Maybe like after 20 years, you could probably get that tone, maybe, if you've been playing it that long. And I'm here to tell you that I know now it's more than much more than that. That didn't stop me from trying to learn some of this stuff. But, you know, starting on with the Hot Rise and doing gigs with them and continuing on, I got to know Doc a little bit, you know, played a lot of shows where we opened it for him. He was always very gracious and friendly. I get to hear him sort of in quiet moments, private moments, playing in the dressing room, and it was always a wonderful thing. But, you know, he's always Doc, and I was just some guy, you know. I got him to sit in every once in a while with him. He actually sat in with Red Knuckles and the Trailblazers one time. He came out on stage at Merrillfest with a red satin fringed shirt and dark glasses on. He said, "What is everybody laughing at?" Then he went, "I know." He had this big grin on his face. He said, "I know what they're laughing at, these glasses." He was play acting because he never wore dark glasses. He always sort of downplayed that he had any handicap. And in fact, it was really kind of hard to tell that he did have a handicap, being a blind man almost his whole life. When he was young, he learned all kind of stuff about auto mechanics and electronics, carpentry. Many stories of him traveling on the road with Merle and T. Michael Coleman, fixing the air conditioner on the top of the RV, from stepping off of a motel balcony to get up there. He told me that he built a shed, and somebody was up there looking around. He said, "Well, you probably, if you built this shed yourself, you probably bent a few nails." He said, "Son, I didn't bend a single nail on this thing." He was very proud about that. He said, "I know how far that nail is from my hand when I'm hammering." "Get me down my old boat, a hot set sail lifts you float, cause I got them deep river blues. Well, I'm going down to Muscle Shoals, the times be bitter, there I'm told, and I got them deep river blues." I tried to get Doc to record with me one time, and it was like it wasn't going to happen. He had too many things ahead of me. Asked him again another time, and it was still too much for him to consider. And after a while, I sort of figured I should leave him alone. You know, he's Doc Watson, and he's got plenty to do, and he's in fact done plenty for all of us already. But over the years, I'd be driving by his home turf there in North Carolina, thinking, "I wonder how Doc's doing. I wonder if I could look him up there and pay him a visit." You know, I was over there in that neck of the woods in February, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to look him up, this would be a good time. So I got the nerve up to call him, you know. And he said, "Who is this?" I said, "Tim O'Brien." He said, "I don't know you." He said, "Oh, that's all right. That's okay. I'm just a fan, and I just want to see how you're doing." His daughter, Nancy, was there, and she overheard him talking. She said, "Daddy, who is it on the phone?" He said, "What's your name again?" I said, "Tim O'Brien." He said, "It's Tim O'Brien." And she said, "Oh, Daddy, don't you know him? He's that fiddle player that plays at Merrillfest." He goes, "Oh, you're the fiddle player that plays at Merrillfest." Anyway, we kept talking. He was telling me about getting saved and about meeting his wife, Rosalie, when she was only 15 years old. All kind of stuff. And finally, one thing led to another, and I got invited up to the house. And he started remembering a little bit about me and my sister Molly singing. There was a snowstorm coming down, and I should have headed to Nashville, but I was going to go see Doc Watson. And I'm heading up onto the ridgetop to find him there. I got to his house finally, and I turned off my car, and I could hear guitar music and singing. And I looked through the glass window in the kitchen there, and there was Doc just sitting there playing his guitar and singing. He was singing the song, "While Roving on a Winter's Night." And it was just perfect, just beautiful. He played a beautiful little diminished lick at the end of the song. I waited for it to be finished, and I knocked on the glass door, and he said, "Slide her open, she's unlocked." And said hi, and I said, "Doc, is it okay if I bring my guitar in?" And he said, "Oh yeah, that'd be fine. Let's play some music." So it was a lovely afternoon. It was a Sunday afternoon in Deep Gap, North Carolina, with my hero. Thing that day, I learned he makes a diminished chord a different way. I go like that. See, I switch. What he does is he just squeezes them together. That's really cool. Anyway, he kept telling a lot of stories, and we're playing the songs, and it was just a wonderful thing. At one point, he kept talking about this one guitar he had, a Dana Bourgeois Dreadnought guitar. He said, "Have you seen that guitar? It's got a dreadnought. It's got a cutaway." I said, "I think I've seen you play that guitar." He kept talking about it. He said, "You know, that's a really good guitar, and then I had it out one day, and somebody moved it and put it where it shouldn't have been." He said, "Later on that day, I stepped right in that guitar and broke the top through. It made me sick." He said, "I was ashamed to even mention it to the guitar maker, but he found out about it. He said, send it back, and he put a new top. He said, I think it's better than it was before." And he kept talking about that guitar. Finally, he said, "I'm going to go get that one. I'm going to go get it for you. I'll show it to you." So he gets up from his chair and reaches behind him. The basement door is right there. And he opens up that door, and he's starts down the stairs, and I'm looking at the steep staircase, and I'm thinking, oh my God. He's 89 years old. He's a blind man. But he's Doc Watson. He could sort of hear me thinking, I think. He turned around. He said, "Don't worry, I'll be careful. If I fall and kill myself, call the veterinarian." Shut that door, and he was down there for about 20 minutes, and I was thinking, you know, maybe I should go help him, but, you know, again, he's Doc Watson. There was no crashing around or anything. I was listening real close. Finally, about 20 minutes later, he comes back up the stairs, opens up that door. He's got a guitar case in his hands. He comes through the doorway, shuts the door behind him. He sits down, and he opens up that case and takes out the guitar. Plays a lick on it. He says, "That's not the guitar at all, is it?" I said, "No, it's not it." He said, "It's a good one, though." Anyway, I just want to say he made a lot of difference for so many of us, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in our lives that are that way, and, you know, when they get up in years, or maybe they're sick, and you sort of think maybe we should leave them alone, but if you have an idea to go visit them, I think it's a good idea. If that boat sinks with me, I'll go down, don't you see, cause I've got them deep river blues.
me, I'll go down. Don't you see, cause I got them deep blue blues.
Sing it out.
Let it rain, let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more, cause I got them deep river blues. Let that rain drive right on, let those waves sweep along.